I plant something new for every Grisha lost. Heartleaf for Marie, you for Sergei, red sentinel for Fedyr, even Ivan has a place. This will blossom bright orange in the summer. I planted it for Harshaw. These dahlias were for Nina when I thought she'd been captured and killed by Fyrdans. They bloom with the most ridiculous red flowers in the summer. They're the size of dinner plates. I'm running out of room.
It hurts.
Welcome back
to Two Mourners,
One Book Club. I'm Em.
I'm Jordy.
That's a really emotional, like, first line to start with.
It is. We took it there.
Anyway, I don't know how we move on from that. I really
Chapter 21 is in Uncle Alex's point of view.
Oh, and we left off with them being like, Ketadam, like, is the right place to gamble. We gotta go to Ketadam. Gotta go to Ketadam.
And I was like, Ketadam it. I'm in.
Ketadam, don't gotta tell me twice.
What is it, the Rick and Morty, which is now controversial? It's like, you son of a bitch, I'm in.
Is it controversial?
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
Why did I say it like that?
It is.
Why is it controversial?
Because the guy who did most of the voice acting on it is a terrible person.
Who is it?
I can't remember his name. He was Rick and Morty. And,
dang.
Allegations of sexual assault.
No!
Isn't it? Yeah.
Dang. Hate to see that.
It's no damn good. So I tell you. That's a bummer.
Anyway, but chapter 21 is in Uncle Alex / Yuri's point of view. What did you call him last week?
I don't want to repeat that.
Nerdy ass version.
I made you really upset.
No, it was fine. It really was.
I called him a nerd ass virgin.
Yeah, great. So it's in both their points of view. And Uncle Alex is like, I don't know where to go.
He's really running away, honestly. Yeah.
Which, again, like, I was listening back to our last episode and then looking back at that chapter. Mm-hmm. When he runs away, I'm just thinking of him like, ha, 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 ow.
Yeah, tripping like a little kid.
Well, he fell down the stairs. Like, that's hilarious.
Like, just ass over tea kettle down the stairs.
Like, eh. And then he got shot. He's like, ah. I don't remember what pain feels like.
This is hard.
Yeah. And so his Nietzsche Voya are, like,
ferrying
taking
him away.
Yeah, they're, like, literally lifting him up. Yeah. And, like, if y'all have ever seen a Harry Potter musical when Lucius Malfoy's character is like, how dare
yes,
you?
Yes.
And he's, like, lifted up by his Dementus. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening here, except it's truly. The Nietzsche Voya. And he's thinking.
And he's crying.
Yeah, and he's thinking, Alina. Uncle Alex is like, oh my gosh, Alina was there. I got to see her. And Yuri's mm-hmm. like, she's alive. She's alive.
Yuri's like having a religious experience.
Literally. And he's thinking, Sancta Alina, daughter of Dostova, Alina of the Fold, she lives. And Alex is like, you've got to be kidding
me. He's jealous.
He is. He is. But he's also thinking, he's like, oh, of course Alina's happy. She's with her tracker. I don't know if you can
what
even
is she
call
seeing him.
Yeah. It's like, I don't even know if you could call that a happy life.
No, literally.
But then he's kind of pissed at the questions she asked mm-hmm. him because he acknowledges that she always knew. Well, he says it like she knew how to get under his skin, but mm-hmm. she knew what questions to ask because even though he didn't want to admit it, they were like, even though neither of them really wanted to admit it to what side the other person was seeing, they were more like each other.
Yes.
Than
she had
anyone.
Asked herself the same question.
Mm-hmm.
And Mirzost punished her when mm-hmm. she tried to consolidate that power for herself. It got split into others.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like he's taking it very, like, at surface value. Like,
yeah.
She knows how to get under my skin. But it's like she had to make the same calculations.
Yeah. But she really does. So get wrecked.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Nietzsche Voya are like carrying him through. He's like, I know every place in Ravka, you know, mm-hmm. I've been here for hundreds of years, but you know what wasn't here before I died were these,
the US military, these bombs and ships and guns.
The guns and ships, and so the balance shifts. We rendezvous with Rochambeau, consolidate their gifts. We can end this war in Yorktown, cut them off at sea. But
so
for us to succeed, there's someone else we need. I know. Alex is here.
such a good tie-in.
Thank you.
That was very well done. But he is looking around like, what fresh hell is this?
He's like, oh, they're, what, what is this flying thing?
I was dead for 20 minutes.
Yeah. He's like, what is this flying thing? Manny Chavoya used to be the only things that could fly. Mm-hmm. There's tanks. Oh, there's automatic weapons. Ah! Which, same.
Which,
that,
honestly,
that's valid.
A fair valid impulse. Yep.
Mm-hmm. And while they're, like, going through, I just imagine them being lifted in the air like this.
He's, like, just T-posing yeah. through the Ravkin countryside.
With the Nietzscheboya. And he's just, like, looking around like, damn, this is a little bit different. Uh-huh. And Yuri's just like, Alina's alive.
Yeah, he just can't get over it.
And Alex is pissed. Yes. We're going to call him Uncle Alex from Always. This point forward. He tells Yuri, it specifically says that no one in particular. He's like, I gave my life for Ravka.
Because he's like, oh, Alina died for us. He's like, no, I did. It was me.
Except you didn't.
You're back, though, aren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. and so eventually the Nietzscheboya put him down, and he doesn't, he knows where they are. It's on a bridge, but he doesn't, like, realize where they are yet. And he's wearing the robes that Yuri had on. And he's walking, and people are looking at him like, ew.
Like, who's this guy? He's yeah. nasty.
But then he realizes where they are. Or sorry, no, as he's walking through the town, mm-hmm. he sees relics to Alina, to mm-hmm. Eurus, to Santa Maria, to, like, everyone except him. And he's like, oh, well, it'll happen eventually, probably. Yeah.
And Eurus like, yeah, it will, mm-hmm. my lord.
And then as he's walking, he's thinking of all the names that he has been in the past. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know what? I'm about to find my true identity, Alexander.
We're going back to the OG.
OG, what's on my birth certificate.
my government name.
Yeah, and he's like, you know what? Maybe this was my flaw, because saints were meant to live forever. I'm going to be a saint. Mm. If I had just gone by Uncle Alex from the beginning.
Hey, it's Uncle Alex.
Again, the creepy uncle that no one wants exactly. at the cookout.
I like some of his names, though. Eric, he's not an Anton, though.
Could you imagine how pretentious he'd be as an Anton?
He'd be terrible as
He was
Anton.
Already pretentious as Kurgan.
I like Stasky.
My guy Stasky.
This is Stasky. He's a little weird, but we keep him around.
But it's kind of interesting. The names are, like, not similar, but, like, all kind of similar in countenance.
They all have, like, the same, like, vibe. Yeah. Yeah. And then Kurgan, which, again, is weird.
Yeah. And so he's like, you know what? That's my name. And then he goes into a church and he sees the priest in this church, and then realizes he goes in because he's like, oh, if they're not going to turn away yeah, a beggar, this away. Is a church. Mm-hmm. There's a church famous in our state that didn't open mm-hmm. when people needed it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe in Ravka they wouldn't turn away an unhoused person.
Tea.
That's that on that, though.
Anyway. I just dripped on my book. That's
I know
a bummer.
You.
And so he goes in and then realizes that the church they're in was raised over where Ilya Morozova, Alex's mm-hmm. grandfather, quote-unquote... performed his miracles.
It's my grandpappy's house.
Grandpapa.
Grandpapa. What did they do to your home? There's a priest in here.
And so he realizes it because there's, like, a statue of Ilya Morozova at the front. Mm-hmm. And then, so he knows where they are, goes down to the basement, and he finds a secret door. And Yuri is thinking, like, Alexander is having some, like, kind of humorous thoughts and mm-hmm. a little blasphemous to the church, and Yuri's like, not what I wanted, this is not what you should do.
This is heresy.
He's like, Yuri's literally thinking, he's like, this is a holy place.
He really is.
And Alex is pissed at how pious Yuri is, even though he kind mm-hmm. of, like, chose him to do this,
right?
But in the basement we learn it was actually Morozova's workshop, mm-hmm. so, like, where everything actually had taken place. And Alex flashes back because he remembers that he begged his mom to take him there, Bagra, so she did. And when they got there, there was a church over it, and she was just, like, laughing. Mm-hmm. But she tells him, she's like, you know that they killed him, right? Like, you know, mm-hmm. people don't actually want power. They want the illusion of power.
Yep.
So he had been there before and knows where he is, and that's where he found the journals, Morozova's journals, mm-hmm. and so he looks for them in the same spot, but there's nothing there except a little toy that was broken, which I'm like, oh, if we remember, oh, that was gosh. The toy that Bagra's sister broke that mm-hmm. in turn caused Bagra to kill her.
Yeah. like I always say in that stupid movie, Walk Hard, where the guy's like, where one of the kids accidentally cuts his brother in half with a katana. And they bring the doctor out to look at him, and the doctor's like, this is the worst case of a person being cut in half I have ever seen. It's so That's bad. Hilarious. And then the main character is like, I can't smell. And his mom's like, he's got nose blood. From the trauma.
From the trauma.
It's a very dumb movie, but every time I think of the actually very sad thing of this unrestrained child, Bagra, accidentally dismembering her sister, yes. I think of this is the worst case of a person Valid. Being cut in half.
And so Ugh. Once they're down there and kind of like Alex is remembering this, Yuri also like knows it because they're one being.
Yeah. He's along for the ride.
Uh-huh. And so he's like, oh my gosh, this is such a gift. And he tells the Darkling, like, you saved me that day. Mm-hmm. when the fold expand, cause, the Darkling thinks of Novokuibirsk and like mm-hmm. expanding the fold. And then he sees it kind of from Yuri's point of view mm-hmm. and Yuri tells him that he saved him. And the Darkling is thinking, I did not mean to save him, but you know what? I wouldn't even really have chosen him.
But it's but... nice to be appreciated. Yeah,
literally. and then Yuri's thinking, like, why did you go to Alina? And Uncle Alex doesn't say it, but he's literally obsessed with her. Like,
he is.
He's been obsessed with her.
Since book
and,
one.
Yeah. For reasons that the reasons he puts forth are different from the actual reasons. Yes.
Like he like convinces himself mm-hmm. it's for certain reasons.
Mm-hmm. But he is also trying to he's not trying, he's justifying everything he's mm-hmm. done because he's like, it's been for the Grisha, it's been for Ravka. Mm-hmm. You know, Alina didn't do it. Like Nikolai didn't do it. They didn't have the power. They didn't have the strength. Like mm-hmm. it's my turn again, which again, Mijo, you've had hundreds of years to right? do this.
Like, come now.
Get it together.
Fifth time's the charm.
Yeah. Then he's like, maybe I shouldn't have done this. Maybe I shouldn't have come here. So then he goes out of the basement, and the priest is, like, giving a sermon mm-hmm. of Sancta Nikolai. Not Nikolai.
No, but it's still nice. Mm-hmm,
and there's people there. And so he's like hiding and uses his powers to make shadows come out of Sancta Ilya's hands mm-hmm. and mouth to make it seem like, oh, this is holy because, you know, it's a religious icon. And so he's like, this is where I start my journey to become a saint because mm-hmm. that's actually where I went wrong. That's
where I messed up.
That's where I messed up.
What about the murder?
what murder? he's like, that's where I messed up. This is the solution to all mm-hmm. my problems and to win this, like, what I want.
He's like, people loved Alina because she was a saint, so I'll be a saint.
Not true.
Entirely missing the whole point.
Yeah. He's been in his Delulu era.
He but really has.
He's like, Alina was a saint. The people loved her, so I need to be a saint. They'll love me. Wrong.
So that was a lie.
and so he does this and people are like freaking out in the church. And Yuri's a little apprehensive about this. Mm-hmm. But the Darkling's just going for it.
Pretty much.
Yeah. and it ends with, quote, he would teach the world awe. Because he's like, okay, you know what? I didn't put on enough of a spectacle. The fold... not enough. Let's go bigger. Let's go grander.
Let's go more theatrics.
Let's up the budget.
He literally says, no, there's a better story here.
Come on,
Alex.
To be fair, people do love a good story.
That's fair. I mean, we are here.
Yeah.
With a book podcast.
Amen. Anyway, end of chapter 21.
We didn't kill anybody to get to this point.
Oh my gosh, no.
that we know of.
No.
Just kidding.
Just no.
Chapter 22.
It's in Nina's point of view. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
And she's been in her bed, mm-hmm. just sick with guilt and also big emotions yes. over what happened in Ravka because her home was destroyed.
Doesn't even know that David is dead.
Yeah, she does. Well,
she didn't really know him.
She didn't really know David, but she doesn't know that he's dead. But she knows that Nikolai is alive because mm-hmm. she, when it was announced,
When the news broke.
Yeah, when the news broke in Fierda, everyone was like, oh my gosh, yeah. And someone was like, oh, Nina, are you okay? She's like, oh.
Oh, I'm fine.
I just shocked. Some bad oysters. Yeah.
So the pretender is dead?
Yeah, and so like, she's like, oh my gosh, is Nikolai dead? And Brum's like, nah, he's not. Not yet, anyway. She's thinking, okay, I know Nikolai's alive. I don't know about Zoya. Like, I don't know about anyone else, but my home has been destroyed. Which is heartbreaking. And so Hannah takes her back to her room, and she's just in a, she's in shock.
Yeah,
is what she is. She doesn't eat. She doesn't drink for a few days. She's just in complete shock. And she feels guilt because she realizes, I saw the plans. I saw the map of the little palace, and I didn't do anything.
I just didn't understand what it was.
Yeah. And, oh, it's pouring outside. Oh.
She's reading.
Interesting. But she's feeling guilt about that, which she shouldn't, because she couldn't have done anything. No, there wasn't enough time.
Like, if she was seeing the plans then, they were probably already in motion.
Yeah. And so before Hannah leaves to go back to the party after taking her initially to her room, Nina tells Hannah to make the prince sick.
And this is a 400 IQ moment.
Yeah. She like has this forethought, because when she feels a little bit better, once she's like out of this haze, she realizes, okay, I'm glad I did that, because it's like going to set in motion her next plan.
Yep.
Because once she starts feeling a little bit better, she's in her room, and Brum is like, I don't care how sick she is. The queen wants to see her, so get her ass out of bed.
I already, like, did not have any respect for him, but he's been, like, ogling her this whole book.
Yeah.
And he's so mean about her in this chapter.
He is.
And it's like, we knew that he was an asshole, but, like, I got really mad.
It's ridiculous. And so Hannah's like, oh, let me go get her ready. And Ylva's like, oh, the queen wants her to see her personal doctor, so she'll feel better. And so Hannah goes in and, like, tailors Nina to make her look a little bit better, brings her some bone broth. Yeah. Literally, like, because Nina looks like she's been through it. Because she has.
She has.
And she's, like, she's literally been in bed for a few days. So she's, like, kind of gross. Like, her eyes are swollen and sunken in. She's just not doing great. And so Hannah tailors her to make her look like Jordy said, like a saint. But as they're leaving, like, Hannah's helping her out, and they put a shawl over her head to cover the, like, look of the glow. To cover
her slayed makeup. Yeah.
To cover the contour.
To hide the Jaclyn Hill makeup palette.
And the queen sent some of her servants, and so they, like, carry Nina, and they're like, ugh, she's heavy. Bitch! I'd be pissed.
There is a mystery tool that'll come in handy later here, because Nina's like, oh, you did a really good job, and Hannah's like, I've been practicing on myself.
Yeah. But the prince's health is failing, and that's why the queen is calling Nina over to her.
She's like, I'm praying every night.
So she gets to the queen's quarters, and her servants put her down, and Nina reveals, like, she's fine, and the queen is like, what? Nina tells the queen that she was actually in a trance.
Smart.
And she asks where the prince is, and the queen admits that he's been sick, like, sicker than he has been in a long time. And Nina plays this up. She's like, you destroying Ravka, you causing this war, has angered Jell. Again,
she's playing chess while they're playing checkers.
Literally, 10,000 IQ points right there.
Because the queen is like, what?
Yeah. Can y'all hear that thunder outside?
It's a little spooky over here. Yeah,
I might be here for a little bit. then Nina tells her, while she's on her way to the queen, she, like, pulls to Lenore Rundholm, the queen's former lady-in-waiting and alleged best friend that she treated like shit.
Yes, that she completely abused.
And asks for more tea, and Lenore gives it to her.
And Lenore says, girl, let me tell you. Yeah.
She also asks Lenore to tell her what she wants, and Lenore's like, I want you to end the line.
And Nina's like, cool.
I'll see what I can do.
I can't make any promises. She's under promising over delivering.
Yeah. Nina tells the queen, like, he's sick because Jell is mad that Fierda caused war in Ravka. And the queen is like, no, like, it was the military. Like, it wasn't me. And she's like, the military followed. Like,
was it not done in your name?
Yeah. And then Nina brings up, she's like, do you know what's between the Grand Palace and the Little Palace in Ravka? And the queen's like, oh, the chapel. And Nina tells her it was the first altar. The saints are Jell's children, and you're angering him. You know, if someone upsets or someone hurts someone's child, any parent would protect them. And she's panicking. She's like, no, it's fake. It's a fake religion, like fake news. No. And she's like, it was Brum was the one who called it. And she's like, that's not going to work. You're still the queen. Like, you run the country. And then the queen is like, well, I've heard people say that Grisha are the children of Jell. And so Nina pulls into that. And then the queen calls her a liar.
And a heretic.
And Nina like rolls her eyes back in her head.
I love it.
And pretends like she's seen something and says, quote, you bled and bled. You knew you were going to lose the child like all the others. You sent sweet Lenora to the dungeons and had a Grisha healer brought to you. And then like goes into the story of the healer and how they had a relationship and how the queen had promised her to be set free, but she ended up killing her.
And how the Heartrender had sung her a Ravkin lullaby.
Yeah. And Nina starts singing the lullaby that the healer sang to the queen to help her feel better.
Oh gosh.
And the queen is she's shitting bricks over here.
She is pearls clutched.
Yeah.
Pants shat. She's about to exit the chat.
She's like, oh my gosh. Because again, the queen was calling her a heretic. She's like, oh, I shouldn't believe you. And then Nina's like,
Bet.
Let
me put on a show.
Yeah.
She's like, you know Ravkin? And Nina's like, no. Like, acting like she's, like, speaking in tongues.
She's like, I didn't know it before. Jell was the one who sent it to me. And the queen tries to, like, justify and be like, I needed her help. And Nina tells her that Nina tells the queen that Jell forgives her. But, you know, he's not going to forgive.
But, you know, fool me once.
Yeah, the intentional murder of Mor Grisha. And the queen's like, well, how am I supposed to stop it? Like, people want war, like, blah, 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 blah. And Nina's like, have you talked to anyone? No one wants war. No,
they just want to live.
And so the queen is panicking, like, trying to figure out what to do. And Nina tells her to listen because, quote, the water hears and understands, which I was like, that's good. That's good. She really ate with that line.
She really did. And then she turns to go, and the queen is like, how dare you turn away from me?
And Nina's like, you should be more worried about Jell. Nina did not come to play.
And internally she's like, that might have been a step too far, but we're here anyway, so.
We're gonna do it. So as she's leaving, she's going back to her room. She's, like, trying to make sense of what she's heard Brum saying, like, outside her room the past few days. And he had mentioned Drokestrin.
I don't know. That one's hard.
I don't know. I feel like I have to roll the R, but I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know.
Joke is steering.
Drokestrin. I don't know, much man. Better. And that is she's like trying to remember what that word means. And she realizes that it's actually a celebration for like a military victory that the Druskella like celebrate in the woods. And so she realizes, okay, this is my chance to break Magnus out because all the Druskella are going to be away. And she has a little bit of hope because she remembers, okay, Nikolai's still alive. Like I'm going to do what I can and I'm going to make some trouble because that's what I'm good at.
Ain't that true?
And y'all, this Sweet. Chapter, I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh my lord. It's where the quote from the beginning of the episode came from.
My heart was torn out, but it was also so warm. I was over here kicking my feet and screaming like a little schoolgirl.
Blushing.
I was like, look, y'all know I love Nikolai. Never have I ever wanted to be in a relationship with a fictional character more than in this chapter.
It's really good.
If y'all know anyone like Nikolai, let me know. we're trying over here. This was such a good chapter.
It's literally so good.
Because it hits you with all the feels. Like,
yes.
Every single one. So, chapter 23 is in Nikolai's point of view. And Nikolai, it starts with him like trying to go to I was not expecting this.
I was not either. Boom. I thought that all of our weather was done earlier today.
Yeah, well, I hope our flight on Saturday will be fine.
I hope so.
I don't know. Tomorrow's a good day to have off. So,
yeah, it is.
So sorry.
It's okay. I'll be fine.
Remember when we used to record on Thursdays and you had Friday off?
Yeah, I do remember that. This is recompense.
Oh, how the turntables. Anyway, so Nikolai had been trying to sleep, but there was just too many things on his mind. He's in a new room because his old room was, like, near the destruction of the palace.
Sad.
And so he had also tried working because he couldn't sleep, but he couldn't do that. Because anytime he was working, he was looking at the drawings and schematics that David had drawn, and he couldn't totally understand them, but it also just hurt his heart because his friend was gone.
And he's blaming himself. Like, what could I have done to keep this from happening?
And he knows that they, like, haven't really heard from Tamar, that he sent word to her, but haven't really heard back. So he's just feeling like he let his friends down, really.
Yeah, and his country.
But he's going through thinking, well, did Maki know about this? Like, did she just get out just in time? And he's like, no, that couldn't possibly be it. But this line was so good. He says, quote, but while Maki had failed with a scalpel, feared it might well succeed with a hammer.
Yes. I thought that was so good.
So good. And he's going through thinking, like, okay, Fierda knows that they won this battle, but they don't realize that they killed David Kostick, which is a huge advantage for them.
Yeah.
Like, they don't even realize. Yeah, they don't realize how big their win was.
He's like,
because of the loss it was to Ravka.
Yes. He's thinking, like, they're probably celebrating the loss of life, which was still bad, and, like, the destroyed buildings, but they don't know the depth of the blow they just struck.
So he's at the window, like, lamenting about everything. And then he sees something below, and it's like, oh, it's a cloak of blue and dark hair. It's Zoya.
It's Zoya.
And he's looking at her,
where,
like,
where are you going, girl?
He's like, wait, where are you going? And he thinks, like, okay, well, she's been avoiding me. And I can't blame her. I sent her into the field without backup. And, like, it's my fault that the Darkling got away.
Oh, my
gosh. And it's my fault that David's dead. And so she's probably just mad at me.
And screaming.
You know, she's probably going to meet, like, a lover. But that's not my business. I wonder who it is. Is it a guard? Is it an Inferni?
Is it that general who's 20 years older than she is?
And he's like, oh, I can't even be mad. Like, I can't. He's like, I can't business. Be mad. But then he grabs his, like, puts on his boot and grabs boots and grabs his shirt and, like, runs after her. And the guards are like, what are you doing? He's like, everything's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Because they're still keyed up from everything.
And then as he's going to her, he's thinking, what am I going to say to her? Like,
I'm fully following her.
Crazy to run into you here in the middle of the night.
What a coinky dink.
What a coinky dink. That's so crazy that we're both roaming the woods in the middle of the night.
I mean, since we're both here.
Yeah. and then he's thinking, nah, this is a mistake. Like, she needs her own time. Like, she deserves privacy. But he's also thinking, where the hell is she going? Because I don't know where we're going, and I know every inch of this place. So as she's walking, they're close to, like, the wall, so the edge of the palace, really. And she moves some vines aside and finds a door in a wall.
He's like, ah!
And he's kind of offended because she didn't tell him, and that's just, like, another secret. But also the palace, he didn't know it.
He's also kind of offended at the palace.
Yeah.
He literally says out loud, like, I thought we were past this.
And then she goes in and doesn't totally close the door behind her, and he's about to step, like, follow her in, but he's thinking, maybe I shouldn't. And then, he realizes on the door there are two stars carved into the wood, just like the little boat in her room. And he's like, I know, I wrote, he noticed.
I wrote the exact same thing.
He noticed, because he doesn't know what those are, what those are for. But he noticed that. And then he's like, you know what? No, he justifies it to himself. He's like, it could be a matter of national security. Like, that's, I have to follow her. I wrote, sure, yeah. Sure, Jan.
Whatever you need to do to let yourself sleep at night, Nikolai.
Yeah. And he goes in and realizes that it's the old vegetable garden, but he thought that it had been abandoned a long time ago when they had moved it. Mm-hmm. And he realizes it's a lot different now. There's no garden there. There's no, mm-hmm. like, tidy rows of could be vegetation.
Just... Yeah.
I loved this. There's willows that border it. And the willows that are on the path are, quote, like women bent in mourning. And I was like, that is beautiful.
It is.
Again, Leigh Bardugo, just her imagery.
The tone with the imagery, yeah. So well.
And you just know exactly what it looks like, but you also mm-hmm. understand the solace in this space. Mm-hmm. Because those trees are in mourning, because of everything that's taken place and everything that has happened in their vicinity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's almost like it's mirroring the people there.
Yeah. Ugh.
So good.
Ugh.
I read that and was just sitting there,
I'm just like
agog. And then Nikolai is looking around and realizes there's flowers and plants mm-hmm. of all different kinds everywhere. And mm-hmm. there's a slight cover of frost on them because it's winter mm-hmm. now. And he sees Zoya and he describes her just like a statue, like she belongs there, like she's not going to move. Which, again, the imagery, because
it's so good.
He sees her in this moment, of course, as beautiful as ever, as a statue, but
mm-hmm.
he describes it like she is a part of the garden.
Mm-hmm.
And so he doesn't say it, but it's almost as though he knows that this is her comfort place.
Yeah.
Like he, and I mean,
he intuits yes. that this is a place that is special and meaningful to her, that she mm-hmm. has curated.
And without even looking at him, she says, quote, I'm running out of room. And that broke my heart.
No.
And so he tries to, like, make conversation and asks her, you know, about mm-hmm. it. And so he learns that she has planted every one of mm-hmm. the plants in there. And after she started it after her aunt was killed because mm-hmm. she needed a place to be alone
mm-hmm.
And started planting flowers and plants for every person who has – every Grisha who has died. This is mm-hmm. where the quote from the beginning of the episode comes from. And so she goes through the plants that she has planted for everyone. And I love how Harshaw's was orange
yeah.
and Nina's were red and loud.
I just thought it was so sweet because we get in Nina's head so much. Mm-hmm. We've been in Nina's head mm-hmm. so much throughout the course of the series. And she has always thought that Zoya kind of, like, was disdainful of her.
Mm-hmm.
And so now to get this peek, because this inner sanctum is, like, Zoya's heart.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It is.
Where she externalizes all her feelings. Mm-hmm. To see that, like, the right after she was back in Ravka, when she presumed that Nina was captured and dead, she planted these for her.
Because mm-hmm.
she cared so much.
And she goes through all this and tells Nikolai. Also, what she planted for Nina and how big they grew. I just remember Matthias telling Nina, you're not a petal, you're a field of flowers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, a bitch be crying in the closet. It's me.
I'm so sorry if anyone listening has dogs.
Yeah.
Because we sorry. Talk really high a lot on this show.
Literally just when we quote that.
I don't know. I'm sick.
Yeah, that too. So sorry.
It will happen again.
Yeah. And so she reiterates to Nikolai that she's running out of room. And while she's telling, like, pouring her soul out to him with this, he's relieved because he's thinking, oh my gosh,
not a man.
She was mourning. She doesn't have a guy. I'm like, bud. And then she tells him, quote, I know what I did is unforgivable.
He's like, I mean, sure.
Sure, yeah. What did you do? And he's kind of trying to make light of it.
Mm-hmm.
And she's not, because she does feel guilty. And she tells him, she's like, I let our most valuable prisoner go. Aren't you mad at me?
Because he's like, I have no idea why you'd feel that way.
Yeah. Because he also, they blame themselves. But neither of them blames the other person. And so he's trying to make light of the situation to show her that he doesn't blame her and that it's not her fault. Then she tells him, she's like, don't pretend, like, don't do this. You've barely looked at me since I've been back. Don't tell me that you don't blame me for this.
I just were, in the margin.
I am about to scream, cry, like, and throw up.
Oh, my gosh. That ice cream's sitting so heavy right now.
He doesn't say this to her, but he thinks, he's thinking, I haven't been looking at you, quote, because I am greedy for the sight of you, because the prospect of facing this war, this loss without you fills me with fear, because I find I don't want to fight for a future if I can't find a way to make a future with you.
I'm deceased.
End quote. I read that and went, I closed my book.
The book?
And just closed. Sat and was like,
I was reading it. My gosh. While my husband was like, do you want to watch anything? And I was like, no!
Don't talk to me, right?
Don't look at me!
What is it? I'm talking to my friends! Mama!
Mama! I was like, just put basketball on. I'll be with you in a minute.
But this, because she's feeling all this sadness and all this guilt, and she thinks that he blames her, and he's trying to make light of it, and he blames himself, but she also is thinking, she's validating her own feelings because of his actions of not looking at her and not having a conversation with her as, like, each other's most trusted ally.
This is, like, the miscommunication trope done well.
Yeah, I'm like,
I normally hate it.
I hate, as someone with a communication degree, I hate a miscommunication trope. There's no excuse
for it ever. Zero. Ever, hardly ever. This is it done well.
This is not miscommunication. It's things going on. It's not miscommunication.
It's just lack of internal thoughts, and they both have these preconceived notions of what the other is thinking.
It's lack of communication because of the trauma that they're each dealing with.
Yes. It's like, because it's not based, it's not lack of communication for a plot twist.
Yeah.
It's lack of communication driven by who they are as characters. Mm-hmm.
But when he said, because I'm greedy for the sight of you.
Oh, a bitch be deceased.
We're just done with the episode.
Pack it
I
up.
I, like, have chills.
It's so good.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Again, Lee, you did it again. You did it again. Again, just being... I say this about Kazan and Ej in specifically Crooked Kingdom with those scenes. But it is the most intimate and romantic scenes without being sexual.
Just, I'm greedy for the sight of you. That's like one of the most romantic things you can think about another person.
I'm literally going to cry. Like,
no, literally, it is so intimate because it's romantic, but it's like sexy without being sexualized, you know? It's not like, her tits were fantastic. It was like, I need you as a basic human
I physically need to look at you because if I don't, I will die.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? I have never felt more alone than I do in this moment.
I'm really sorry.
It's fine. I'm so happy for you and your husband.
Thanks.
No, it's just... Doherty's gonna miss Music Bingo next week.
I am.
And I'm doing a Hozier and Noah Kahan playlist.
Really, really upset.
But it's Jordy and her husband's anniversary. Yeah. And I was like, that's fine,
we'll
I guess.
We've been married for 4 years. Next Music Bingo.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know, right?
That's crazy.
Em was there.
I was.
At my real wedding.
Yeah, it was during COVID.
It was during COVID. You were a witness.
I was. It was fun.
You took the pictures there.
I did.
Some of the best pictures ever.
Do good pictures. But, yeah, this... Because I'm greedy for the sight of you? Are you kidding me?
Like, I'm going to steal that line. I'm going to... When Em leaves and I go upstairs to my husband, I'm going to be like, I was greedy for the sight of you. And he's going to be like, what the hell are you talking about?
But... He's going to be watching the basketball tournament being like, huh?
No, he's going to be... He paces like a caged zoo animal sometimes. Oh, bud. He puts in his earbuds and he paces. And he'll be like, eh.
So anyway, moving on.
Oh my gosh.
I'm never going to move on from that though.
But then he's like, but the next line like just hits so hard because then he's like, but he's a king and she's his general. And so he doesn't say any of it.
So he's thinking, he thinks those things and he wants to say them, but to put Ravka first, he doesn't. Mm. But then he tells her, quote, "I'm looking at you now, Zoya." And then tells her that she never has to ask forgiveness from him. And then he wants to tell her about, like, the, about her, him knowing mm-hmm. when the Darkling broke free and also about the demon, but he doesn't want any more, similarities with him and the Darkling, nothing yeah. tying him to the Darkling, because he knows that she's frightened of the Darkling, but trauma there, you know.
Yes.
And associates the demon with the Darkling, and he doesn't want to add to that, but he does tell her that he knew when the Darkling got away because the demon saw it and he saw her. Mm-hmm. And she tells him, she's really vulnerable and tells him that she wishes he was there because maybe he could have stopped it.
And he's thinking, like, I thought she was going to be disgusted with me.
Mm-hmm. Ugh. she admits, he was like, oh, really? You want me there?
He's like tucking really? His hair behind his really? Ear. Like, oh my God, wow. Really?
But she tells him, yeah, who else would I want to have my back in a fight? And he's really, really happy at this.
He's on cloud nine.
That's like the
that.
Biggest compliment Zoya could ever give someone,
honestly.
And then she also tells him, well, maybe if you'd been there we could have gotten him, and he immediately mm-hmm. is like, no, absolutely like, not so. Then she points towards what grows outside mm-hmm. of the garden, and we realize that it's a thornwood. And she's like, it's useless, though. It's not the thornwood that we need. Like, it's, she describes it that it's the blossoms that cover it are useless. The fruit, you can't eat mm-hmm. it. It's nothing. Like,
it's prickly.
Yeah, it's nothing.
She says it's unlovable.
Mm-hmm. And she's describing herself.
Yeah.
And Nikolai pulls her to him, and like, they don't. Totally embraces, like a half hug.
He says, how wrong you are.
Oh my gosh. And he says, oh, this was going to be my quote if I wrote. I know that we have a lot of quotes this chapter, but it's so good. He says, quote, look at the way it grows, protecting everything within these walls, stronger than anything else in the garden, weathering every season. No matter the winter it endures, it blooms again and again. And so he's, again...
It's a metaphor,
even though Zoya specifically says that it's not a metaphor. He knows it is, and she asks him, like, what if this winter is too much, what if it dies? And he's like, no, then we'll rebuild you, you'll be fine.
She's like, I wasn't talking about me. And he's like, sure you weren't.
And then now he reaches for her hand and like pulls her to him in kind of like a half hug,
and she lets him,
and she does, and she cries on him, which for Zoya, again, mm-hmm. huge. They talk about David again, which is heartbreaking, and they both mourn him together. And then they kind of joke a little bit, mm-hmm. and then they leave. They go back to the palace, and at the path that separates the Grand Palace and the Little Palace, they separate.
They go their separate
and
ways.
He notes that he wants to go after her. He wants to bring her back to him, but that's not what Ravka needs. Mm. It needs a king. And as he's walking back, he just says to himself, quote, and a king they will have, end quote. Are y'all kidding me? Like, are you kidding me?
I'm deceased. It's so good.
I feel like
it's so good.
That needs to be like a scene, like out in the rain. Like, I'm greedy for the sight of you.
God.
Like.
That is Jane Austen level.
Yeah.
Pining.
I love you. Give me Mr. Darcy, or give me what's his name from Emma? That's one of my favorite books, not just because that's my name.
I know who you're talking about.
Knightley.
Yes.
Saying, I'm greedy for the sight of you.
Oh my gosh.
And it's not because she's beautiful. It's not like, wow, she's so hot. I have to look at her. He needs to see her.
Oh my gosh. It's like, just, I think it's like the word greedy. Yeah. That does so much of, like, the lifting in that phrase. Because it's, like,
I don't need, thing, it's like, not,
I need to see you. Or, like, I love looking at you, but greedy for the sight of you. It's like when you keep, when you're eating a dessert and you keep having one more bite, even though you are full and you know you shouldn't, because it's just so good that you can't stop yourself. Like, ugh.
Miss Bardugo.
Ugh. And it's so concise and it packs so much emotion into that one line, and I'm like, I'm dead.
I'm deceased and also crying and also screaming.
I died because I cried and screamed and threw up too much.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, I really hope she has a question and answer thing at her
book. I really hope a talented animator animates that scene and gets voice actors for it.
Well, they already have the actors.
I know.
Could you imagine him saying that to her?
Oh my god. I would have to be
sedated.
Somebody sedate me! Do you remember, did you ever watch Sky High?
Yeah, obviously.
Yes, of course. So the guy who turns into, like, a puddle?
Yeah.
They would have to mop me up so no one would trip on me.
It'd just be, like, eating popcorn.
Someone would have to put a caution sign so no one would trip on me. Oh my gosh.
Anyway, hopefully y'all also feel that strongly about that scene, because...
There's no way you can.
Yeah, there's... I don't know why I said hopefully. Like, y'all have to, like...
Holy...
Anyway, chapter 24 is in Mayu's point of view.
It's fine.
And you're like, Mayu, that's crazy. We haven't had...
Mayu, that's crazy.
Mayu, where the hell have you been, Loka?
I haven't heard from you in a hot minute.
In the infirmary after she almost died.
Woof.
Bummer. And so they realized that Maki... never admitted to the Kurgood labs, but was like, well, also, maybe, like,
checking on them.
Tamar and Mayu had taken Eiri to her part in the palace. Mm-hmm. And
it's called the nest, which is kind of cute.
I know, especially because their thing is like the like,
falcon.
Mm-hmm. Tamar and Mayu take turns watching Eiri to make sure mm-hmm. she's good, and they did warn the ministers to maybe have extra security because of Maki.
Absolutely.
Two of Eiri's sisters come in and talk to her.
And they're a little sus.
Like, visit her. Yeah, they're a little sus. They're both engaged, and one of them postponed her wedding. Mm. And they kind of say, well, maybe we thought... One of them, the other one implies that she postponed her wedding in case Maki made her the next heir, because the... previous heir mm-hmm. had passed away in
because
the blight.
Kenny had died.
They try and, like, bring Eiri into it. Yeah. Like, oh, you, what about you? And she's like, no, I just want what the queen wants. Like, that is, that's heresy. And they both kind of nod their heads and, like, yes,
yeah,
yep,
for sure. Mm-hmm. Her sisters reminded me of, like, little, just like, what's the word I'm looking for here? Just little kind of like hummingbirds. Cause mm-hmm. they're like this, described as wearing jewel colors too.
Mm.
So they remind me of these kind of frivolous little like people.
But also like,
but they're conniving too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was gonna say vindictive, but conniving is better. Yeah.
And Aries a good politician. Even mm-hmm. She doesn't want
to
be.
She is. And Mayu, we'll see it later in this chapter too. Mayu has underestimated her because she's only seen her as this like frivolous little girl who
like naive, useless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But she's not. And she sees that. Once they leave, Mayu kind of tells Eiri, like, why didn't you try and get them on our side? Mm-hmm. And Eiri tells her the strategy behind it. She's like,
yeah,
that was not going to do any good for any of us.
Yeah.
Mayu asks Eiri, like, how close she is to her sisters. And Eiri tells her, well, not like Kevin. We're friendly.
Yeah, we've never fought, mm-hmm. and I love them.
Yeah.
Maya's like, never ever?
Never ever? Mayu tells them stories of her and Rayam, and is actually honest. And kind of, you get more of the sense of what Kevin is, and how if one of them can't be happy, they just want the other to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And that one can't be happy if the other one is in pain.
Yeah.
Tamar says that. Mm-hmm. And so when Tamar says that, Mayu kind of tries to defend herself, saying, like, now you know why I had to listen to Maki. And Tamara tells her, you killed Isaac. No, I don't like, see why not, you had to do not. That. Yeah. No, we're not back there. And so they have, like, a little bit of back and forth. And Mayu still does feel guilt over it, but she's still wanting to find her brother because that's her, like, number one priority. And so they're talking, and then all of a sudden, a firework goes off, and that is their signal to move. And so...
That is really sad, just because they're talking about loss, and Mayu kind of gets mad at Eri because Eri's like, guys, let's just get along. We all have a common goal. And Mayu's like, well, what have you lost? And Aerie's like, don't you know? My sister. Because she, until, like, she got back home, didn't want to believe that Maki would try to have her killed.
Yeah. And so they go through the palace and go through, like, the secret tunnels and end up outside of the palace walls. While they're, once they get out, there are two men that were waiting. And Tamara goes to talk to them, and they're, like, her spies. So what has happened is they planned that. The two men ride away to send word. There's a carriage waiting for them. So Tamara, Eri, and Mayu get in the carriage. The two men ride away. Mayu doesn't know where they're going. What has happened is that they were waiting for Maki to send word to one of her good plants so they could figure out where it was. And so that is what they're doing, and they learned that it is at, like, an old dairy farm. De Mumu's. Oh my gosh, when we were on our way to Houston, we passed, you know, multiple farms. And Duncan was in the backseat, and I was like, Dunky, dude, look at De Mumu's. Look at De Mumu's. And so he got up and looked out the window because he was in the backseat, so on their right side. And then he looked out the back window to follow them. He was like, Mumu's.
He loves the Mumu's.
My dog's an Australian Shepherd and loves the Mumu's.
It's in his blood. He loves
the Mumu's. He doesn't know what he's supposed to do. So sometimes he's like, I'm one of them. Let's play.
Domino with sheep. He sees him on TV and he gets really excited, but he doesn't really know what to do. And there have been times that he has gently put my hand in his mouth if he sees a sheep on TV. Because he's like, oh my God, Mom, it's a sheep. I know that guy.
Duncan started running like baby cows when he saw them next to my apartment. But sometimes he's like tries to herd. He just doesn't. He doesn't quite know, but he has that instinct. He's got that dog in him.
He does got that dog in him.
So anyway, they're at a Mumu farm. and they realize, like, there's a watchman outside. They confirm it's the right place because there wouldn't be a farmer with a machine gun.
That makes me think of a real life argument for AK-47s. It's like, to kill coyotes.
Be so for real.
You're just demolishing a coyote into mist.
It didn't work in the Great Emu Wars.
You're so right.
Yeah.
The emus won that.
They did.
Honestly, I stand with the emus.
The one time I will stand with emus.
That's fair.
Yeah. I almost had a panic attack in the Panera parking lot earlier because there were so many birds.
I'm really sorry.
No, it's okay. It was worth it. But I just looked up.
Good soup.
I was on the phone with my mom and I looked up and I was like, oh my gosh, why are there so many birds? And I literally got like dizzy. I was like, there's so many. I can't.
I am so sorry.
It's okay. I went inside. It was fine. But anyway, they're outside. There's this farmer with an AK-47. That's how they know it's the real
You're
thing.
You're not from around here, are you?
And Tamara says that there's a guy in the trees. And that kind of reminds Mayu that, oh, she is a heart
I
rounder.
Forgot. She's just so capable.
Yeah. And so they go up to the guard. Oh, Mayu and Eri are talking while Tamara's, like, kind of sussing out the situation.
Yeah.
And yada, yada, yada. Whatever.
Pretty much.
So then they go up to the guard, and one of them calls out and is like, who are you? Oh, I'm so sorry, Princess Eri, and, like, bows to her, please forgive me, Your Highness. And she asks him if they got her sister's message, and they confirm that they do. And she pulls out a scroll that has a fake royal seal on it and is like, well, we have a new one. Cancel the mission. And he's like, oh, can I see that? And she changes.
She channels Maki.
Yeah. She becomes royal in an instant and is like, I'm sorry, what?
I beg your pardon?
You're Do you call me a liar?
He's like, oh, I'm sorry.
No. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me.
And Tamar's in a Top Guard uniform, and it kind of pisses Mayu off.
Yeah. So they go in, and they go into the building, and there are two men seated. One's like a doctor, and one's military. And they both greet Eiri and are like, wait, what's going on? Are we canceling the mission? She's like, yes, please cancel it immediately. But while we're here, can we look around? And
they're like, "Ugh."
They're like, yeah, sure, but maybe your guard should stay here because it's top secret. And she comes back with, you want me to go with you by yourselves? Are you trying to get my guards away from me? She's smart.
She's so smart.
She's so underestimated.
She's like, why would you have me go in with no defenses? Mm-hmm. You know, there's constantly plots against the Taban family.
Mm-hmm. And immediately she's like, oh, whoops.
They're like, no, come on in.
And so they show her the Kurgood soldiers, and they're all just diminished. It's like almost like barracks, essentially.
Yeah.
And
they have like strung out heart renders to help them make the Kurgood. It's just terrible.
They're all just subdued. It's not good.
With Perim.
And Eiri asks where they came from because there's a guy with blue eyes and blonde hair. Like,
this is a white man.
A white man? No!
What is he doing here?
Nothing. Typical!
Typical!
Except he's strung being out tortured. And yeah.
Being addicted to a substance against his will.
And so Mayu notes that underneath the subduedness, he has rage.
He's pissed.
And so they say that, oh, he's a volunteer. Sure.
They basically human trafficked this guy.
Literally. And so Mayu realizes that they're actually in the slaughterhouse of the cow farm because it's made for, like,
there's like slats in the floor for the blood to drain out.
And so they're going through, they see the Grisha, and then he sees, okay, well, here's the Kurgood, and they're actually, in like their own coffins.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Very bad.
And Eiri asks what their names are because they're trying to find Mayu's brother. And the doctor gives them like nicknames. She's like, no, they're actual names. And the doctor tells her, well, I don't know.
I didn't actually care.
Didn't bother.
Yeah.
So they go through and start opening the containers to like look because the doctor is showing off his work.
Yeah, he's proud.
And on the third one, as they're opening it, Mayu already knows that it's her brother. They're all subdued again. They're like in a drugged sleep.
Yeah. They're all being like winter soldiered pretty much.
Yeah, literally. But they all are having nightmares. So none of them are comfortable. It's their brows are like knitted together. And so when Mayu goes up to her brother, she like talks to him and he calms down a little bit. Yeah. And the other guy is looking like, that's Bergen, sus.
Who's like his paired up trainer / person who's been modifying his body.
They're like, that's sus. Mayu tells Tamar that they have to get him out of here. But then all of a sudden Maki comes in.
And it's also so weird. They put like locust pincher legs.
I know.
On her brother. I was trying to visualize that.
Yeah, I couldn't quite do that. I can't remember this, but I hope that Tamar's a step ahead. There's no way Tamar's not a step ahead of Maki.
Because I feel like she is. I also couldn't remember. Yeah. But I feel like she is. Because
Maki comes in. She's like, you thought I was that simple.
You thought I was.
I've been surprised, in this game years.
But you thought you'd seen the last.
Yeah. Time. She's like, we intercepted your scouts. Like, blah, 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 blah. Mayu's trying to wake Rayim up. And then the queen releases the drug that will wake everyone up. And the doctor's like, oh my gosh, why did you do that? Are you stupid? Which she is, but that's besides the point. And she's begging Rayim like to look
like,
at
it's
her.
Me. It's your
and
queen.
She grabs his hand and he starts to squeeze. And she's like, yeah, that's right. It's like, come with us, please.
Like, yes, it's
and
me.
Then the queen gives a command and he breaks her hand. That hurts. I'd be pissed if my twin brother ever did that to me. Even if he was drugged. I would literally never let him forget it. if he was,
that's very fair,
like if he was drugged and had like metal wings and pinchers at his hips but grabbed my hand and broke it,
I'd be like, you son of a bitch.
Be like, look, I know you're going through a lot right now, but that was really but rude.
That was really rude.
That's something that I can't get
for
over.
The rest of your lives, be like, I'd pick that up, but somebody broke my hand.
I can't pick it up. Use one of your pinchers.
When they said, it's like, oh, we added pinchers to one, I was like, one, why? And two, I was thinking of, like, on his jaw, but, like, it's his
I
hips.
Was thinking, like, Doc Ock, but not quite as many, obviously, because it's two. So, like two,
Blue Beetle type.
Yeah. No, not Blue Beetle. That was a good movie.
I haven't watched it yet.
It has George Lopez in it.
I know. I need to watch it.
Por la cultura. You have to watch it, even though you're not Hispanic, but I am, so.
So I'll watch it.
Yeah. it's really good. But, like, you know, he has, like, I just kind of imagined it, like, if you wanted to, like, perch. You know?
Oh, like Peter Parker's spider suit that has the legs on it.
Yeah.
The iron
but
spider suit.
But just two.
But just two.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Why
have that and wings? Pick a struggle.
Do you think that hinders the flying?
Maybe.
It has
to. They're heavy bitches, these Kurgood.
Anyway.
that's Kurbad, which I know we've used that joke so many times.
It's so funny. And chapter 25 is Nina's point of view.
Yeah.
And so Nina realizes, okay, this is her chance to get Magnus out. And we both missed when she got the Queen's letters. But
I don't know when it happened.
I don't remember, but she got them and destroyed them.
Yeah.
And so she and Hannah are going to go and help Magnus get out of the of his prison cell. So they have to go back to the Duskellis sector. And Nina knows that it's a big risk, and she's putting Hannah at risk, but they have to go. And so they, instead of going the way Kaz and Matthias had done with the secret spot in the wall, because she doesn't know where that is and still doesn't know how Kaz knew where it was, but Matthias knew where it was, and Kaz told him, surprise, I know that it's here. And so Matthias was like, son of a bitch,
you demon.
you little demon. So they're gonna have to climb over the wall, so they have a grappling hook and like throw it up, and Hannah tells Nina not to worry because she's done it a few times.
She's like, what?
And she goes through three different times that she did it, and Nina's like, you said you only did it twice. And honestly, I've never related to Hannah more in this moment. She says, quote, there were whales in the bay. Was I supposed to not go see them? End quote. I'm like, that's so me.
I love it.
Was I not supposed to go pet a bear in the wilderness?
I mean,
what am I?
That's just silly.
Yeah. And so she climbs up there and like kind of pulls Nina up. Nina goes through the plan of getting Opier out, and Hannah's going to tailor him, yada, yada, yada.
All that good stuff.
And so, it's like over, they climb over the wall, cross over, you know how the ice court's kind of confusing, to describe.
I was about to say, I always get a little confused by the ice court architecture. I trust the vision and I trust the plan. I'm just really bad at spatial reasoning.
Yes. And so then they climb up, cross, and then Hannah rappels Nina down into the Duskellis sector. And so she gets to the room and doesn't have a key, so she has to pick the lock. And she's thinking that Kaz would just be laughing at her for how much time it's taking her to unlock it. And then she thinks, quote, shut up, Breaker. Talk to me when you've done something about that terrible haircut. End quote. Which is so funny.
It is funny.
Because she genuinely thinks that he has a bad haircut.
And then she's like, it's been a long time. You know, maybe he does have a new do. I hope so, for Inez's sake.
Gosh, I hope so, because Inez is probably done with him. No. and so she goes in and goes into Brem's office, kind of rifles through everything, but she's like, no, I have a mission to do. Opens the door, and the cell is empty.
It's like,
And she's thinking, did I gaslight myself into thinking he was here?
Me. Anytime anyone remembers something differently than me, I'm like, am I just constantly experiencing psychosis?
Yeah. I'm like, huh, okay. She like looks at Brem's desk again and sees a word that means songbird. Maybe it's a weapon. And then she sees another word, rev feather, that means fox father.
She's like, oh, that's him.
Yeah. But it's like a, a report, and she learns that he escaped out of his cell and allegedly took the queen's letters with him. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, good. He took that. Then she sees... then she's looking at the report, and there's, like, a tiny piece of bone on it. And mm-hmm. she realizes that when he grabbed her to ask her to help him out, he took the bone.
He took one of her bone picks.
Yeah, took one of her bone picks and used it to pick his lock to get out. And she thinks, quote, wily old bastard, fox father indeed. so she's like, yeah, he's Nikolai's dad. If she needed any more confirmation. But then she's wondering where he is and wondering how he's going to get anywhere, because she had a plan to get him back to Rabka. But oh well. And then she hears something outside and is like, okay, well, I got to get out of here. They're back earlier than I thought. Mm-hmm. So she's walking down the hallway, trying every door, and they're all locked. And the last one is finally open. Mm-hmm. And it's Euron, and you're like, oh, what?
Oh, no.
And he asks her what she's doing there, and she tells him, well, Brum told me to meet him here. And he's like, oh, Brum would never do that. Like, these are sacred, hallowed halls. He would never violate that.
And she's like, how can I kill him cleanly?
Yeah. But then she tells him, oh, I'm not proud. I know what I've agreed to do. And Euron is like upset, not totally believing her. Mm-hmm. So Nina continues. She's like, he told me he would be back early. You know, blah, blah, blah. But everyone else is here, so I have to hide. And he asks her how she got here. And she tells him, well, he showed me the secret door in the ice moat. And brought me here.
And he's like, what?
How dare he? He's like this pious man who, like, thinks that he rules everything, breaking the rules. Ugh.
And then she's like, so if I kill him, I'm going to have to do it this very specific way.
But then she looks around and she realizes that he has an altar cloth and bones on his trunk. And she's like, wait a second, those are relics to the saints. Like, that's an altar.
And he has a little wooden sun.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't say anything, and she asks him whose bones they are, and he tells her that he bought them because they were advertised as Alina's. He knows that it's not real, but they bring him comfort. Mm. And so they kind of have a little bit of back and forth about that. And she asks him, like, what he wants to be. And he says that he wants to be good. Reminded me of Matthias. And he's like, well, he believes in Alina because she was a soldier and she saved people. She saved everyone. Mm-hmm. And he wants to be like that. And he's having, like, similar to Matthias, a crisis of his faith, of not Jell, but his faith in this brotherhood that he's been a part of.
Deconstruction moment.
Yes. And she is like, well, you know, soldiers can be good, because she's thinking of Matthias because he was good. And he's like, no, not me. I'm
he thinks
not.
He's irredeemable for some reason.
That's a mystery tool that'll come in handy later. Ugh. I said that at Music Bingo yesterday and people were like, ha ha ha, that's so funny. And I was like,
Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
And so he acknowledges, he's like, I know that I shouldn't be doing this. I know it's sacrilegious. Mm-hmm. And Nina tells him, not really. And she, you know, kind of goes into the maybe saints are Jell's children. Like, maybe it's a gift from Jell.
And that's how Matthias got around it.
Yeah. Quotes Matthias and says, quote, maybe Grisha power isn't quite what we've been led to believe. Mm-hmm. It's literally what Matthias had told her, and that's how he reconciled it. And now she's telling it to Euron, hoping he can. And so he's still, they're going back and forth about it. Then he's like, well, does Brum know you think this way? Because he doesn't, but also this is news to me that he would bring someone here. So
so I guess I don't know anything.
So who am I to say? He tells Nina that there are others who also have that belief, but you know, they're not talking about
them.
Give
them up. Yeah.
And so she's like, can you get me back to the White Island, please? And he's kind of hesitant, thinking like, he tells her, well, isn't Brum expecting you? I don't know if are you hit just like skating around it. Yeah. Nina's thinking, oh my gosh, I'm playing him like a fiddle. Yeah. And she tells Euron, she's like, I'll just tell him I wasn't here and I never saw you, I never spoke to you. Mm-hmm. I'll just take my punishment. He's like, wait, you didn't want to be his whore?
She's like, is that so crazy?
And he's like, well, Bram would never force himself onto a woman. And she's like, he doesn't have to force himself. He already has all this power. It's forcing himself in a different way.
Yeah.
And Euron's the wheels in his head are turning, thinking, oh my gosh, she's so right. She's so right. And so he agrees to help her. And Nina's, mm-hmm. she knows there's something with him, but she just can't quite, she doesn't know what it is.
Yeah.
And so this is so funny.
It's so funny.
As they're leaving, he asks her why she's wearing riding clothes. And she tells him, she's like, well, Bram wanted me to wear them because he wanted to.
He wanted to tell me I'm a bad girl.
And at that, Euron turns beet red. He's like, I shouldn't have asked. I shouldn't have asked.
He's got a nosebleed now.
And Nina knew that would happen.
Oh, yeah.
So she thinks it's hilarious that they're just so, like, they won't talk about it. Yeah. And so he takes her to the secret door because she tells him that's how she got in. And they go down. Eventually she's like, I'll leave you here. Mm-hmm. And before they part, they're talking about Rasmus and he's warning her, mm-hmm. and telling her to warn Hanna about him. Mm-hmm. And Nina tells him, well, he's fine. Like, he seems to be getting better. And Euron tells her, no, he's testing his powers because the stronger he gets, the less people are who are going to tell him no.
Yeah. He's like, his sickness isn't in his body. It's in his mind and his
mm-hmm.
soul.
Mm-hmm. He is actually DeLulu.
He's actually a psychopath.
He and Alex should meet. Uncle Alex.
Yeah, Uncle mm-hmm. Alex would. That would be an interesting.
I think he'd smack him upside the head.
Be like, you're just a child.
Yeah. And Nina's kind of realizing, oh, he's right. He's right. Okay, well, you know what?
Like, but I got to hold on to what hope I have.
Yeah, we got to go. And I'm going to do what I can and hope for the best.
Yeah, that's all you can do.
And that is the end of chapter 25.
Wow.
Also, I love how anytime it's like a Yuri's chapter, it's in it's the monk.
I like that too. It's
so funny.
It is funny. And it's because it's like that's kind of the persona that mm-hmm. Alex is trying to create. And mm-hmm. so I think that's funny.
Yeah. But anyway, thank y'all for joining us. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, please send us an email at mm-hmm. twomournerspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram @twomournerspod or on TikTok @twomournerspodcast. Jordy and I recorded some TikToks the other day that I have not had a chance to edit.
It's really good.
They're funny.
I'm excited about them.
So I will edit those and try and get them done tomorrow or try and get them posted tomorrow. But keep an eye out. And as always, happy heisting. Bye.